Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor of Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we open God's Word this morning, we turn to Romans chapter 1. We'll be looking at the first 15 verses this Sunday. I would like to begin a new series from Paul's epistle to the Roman Church. So let us read together the word of the Almighty God. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you are also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now I at last may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Thus far the reading of the word of our God. May he add his blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we see Paul teaching and preaching to the Roman church. He speaks of his desire to establish, to strengthen God's church in Rome. And that is our desire as we preach God's words to you over the radio, to establish you in the word of God, to hold you fast to that word, instead of to this world which blows around from wind to wind with doctrines of man instead of God. As we look at this word of God, we see that Paul seeks to strengthen God's church through the doctrinal preaching of God's gospel. Paul seeks to strengthen God's church through the doctrinal preaching of God's gospel. First of all, in verse 1, we want to look at Paul the bondservant who writes this epistle. Second of all, in verses 2 through 4, we see that he is preaching the gospel of the risen Christ. And then third, in verses 5 through 15, we see his purpose in writing this gospel, to establish God's called church, the church whom God has called. Now, as we see him writing this epistle, it is a very doctrinal epistle, but it is a very lively epistle. It teaches us how sinful we are. It teaches how we are to be saved in the Savior Jesus Christ, and it teaches us then how we are to live. In fact, this is the outline also of the catechism that we offer at the end of our broadcasts every week, of our sin, of our salvation, and of our service out of thankfulness for such a great salvation. So first of all, as we look at Paul seeking to strengthen God's church through doctrinal preaching, we first of all want to look at Paul. He says that he is a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a slave being a better translation of that word, focusing on the fact that he had been thus from birth. Paul will fill this out more as we look at Romans in the coming weeks. This speaks to his call as an apostle. Remember, Paul was Saul, who had been persecuting the church. We read in Acts 8, verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. He realizes that despite his earlier vehemence against God's church, God's call had been upon him since birth. Therefore, he could not escape it. Furthermore, it was not his desire to escape, but to serve God's church. He writes in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And so he is a bondservant to preach the gospel. He is called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1, Paul writes, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord?" Apostles had very specific qualities. We read in Acts 1 when the disciples are replacing Judas. Acts 1 verses 21 and 22. "Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time, the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." They were eyewitnesses of Christ, of his miracles, of his death, of his resurrection. And so they are able to witness to us with confidence, knowing who Jesus is, knowing the salvation that he accomplished. Remember the call of God on the road to Damascus while he was going to persecute the Christians there. We read in Acts 9 verses 3 through 6. "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" He was separated to the gospel. He was called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel, called and set aside for the ministry of God's gospel. Acts 9 verse 15, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.'" We read in Acts 13 verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.'" We see that he is separated. He is called to be an apostle, to preach the gospel. He is a bondservant preaching that gospel of the risen Christ. That's what we see in verses 2 through 4. We see which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Promised seed of David. We read in Jeremiah 23 verse 5, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness on the earth." On Palm Sunday, the people recognized who Jesus is. Matthew 21 verse 9. "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.'" He is the seed of David. He is the Son of God. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." He is the Son of God, yet he came with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. His power was demonstrated. Who he was, what he was here for, was demonstrated as he rose from the dead victor over the grave. We read in Acts 2 verses 23 and 24, "Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Notice that in this act of God, the most merciful act ever accomplished on the earth, man by wicked hand, by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. So God and man working together in the same act, God determining it for good and man determining it for evil. Acts 10 verses 39 through 41, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17, "If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." demonstrating the power of God, demonstrating salvation in Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul tells us why he writes this gospel, why he writes the book of Romans, why he spends his time in this doctrine. It is to establish God's church, to establish God's called church. Notice that they are called, that we are called according to God's grace. We read, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes later on in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We have to realize that those who believe are the called. We look at Romans 8, verses 29 through 31 in coming weeks, and we'll see that whom he has called, those he has also predestined, and whom he has predestined, those he has also saved, sanctified, and glorified. We are called according to God's grace. We are called to be saints. We are called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. And so he says in verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Their faith had been demonstrated to the whole world. The whole world knew that they believed on Jesus Christ. How did they know? Well, James tells us how someone will know that we are a Christian. James 2, verse 18. For someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In fact, then he continues and says, you believe in God, so do the demons, and tremble. If all we believe in is a God, we are on our way to hell. We must believe on Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the Savior of the Scripture, preached to us in the Gospels, demonstrated throughout the New Testament. And we must believe in the Gospel, the Savior of the Gospel, Jesus Christ, Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So their belief is spoken of throughout the world, their faith. And so Paul is desiring to establish them in this faith, to preach and to teach them according to the gospel which he has preached to other Christians, to the other Gentiles. We read in verse 13, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. He says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unto unwise. So much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And so we must be established in the truth of the gospel. We must hold fast to it. We must believe on the only Savior. And so as we look at Paul in Romans 1, verses 15, as we look at Romans in coming weeks, we see that Paul seeks to strengthen God's church through the doctrinal preaching of God's gospel. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness, including an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail at Salem Reformed Church, Post Office Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. If you have any questions concerning the Bible or in general or about anything we cover on Start the Week, please contact us. We invite you to join us at the Salem Reformed Church in Ashley, North Dakota at 209 First Avenue Southwest. If Ashley is too far away, we have churches of the Reformed Church in the United States in Minot and Anamosa, North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Hamburg and Golden Valley in Minnesota. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church wish you the joy of knowing God this week and forever.